Hello and welcome. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I am Roy G.
And I'm Bruce Hall. Good Sunday morning. We got a big NFL slate today, even though we've got some buys still. Looking forward to it.
Happy Tim Tebow Day.
Happy Tim Tebow Day. We talked about him. We joked about him. We love him.
Nothing was a joke. It was all heart.
Yeah, and Roy's not even playing him in his fantasy league because he's got Tony Romo.
I have Tony Romo.
Going against the... And by the way, you'll figure that out later on, but he's going against the pretty daggone weak St. Louis Rams, yeah. And I couldn't take Tim Tebow. Tebow probably rushed for four touchdowns, though.
Tim Tebow's going to throw for 700 yards.
Dude, inside of 10 yards, he's just keeping the ball and running, putting his head down. Please don't go out with a concussion, Tim. Please. Anyway, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good day. It's beautiful outside here. It's kind of chilly. Had to turn the heat on last night.
I love this weather, though.
Yeah, I do. It's football weather, finally.
Yeah.
At least it's not 90 degrees with a humidity 85-90%. Who are we starting out with today, Roy?
The first game we have here is Carolina -2 against the Washington Redskins with the under-over at 43.5.
You know, this game... You wouldn't have thought would have been a big deal, but at one time, all the people in Carolina and Charlotte, you know, Raleigh, I went to college in North Carolina, East Carolina University. I'm telling you, for years and years and years, they were huge Redskin fans. And I got news for you. The last 22 games, Carolina's 3-19. I think they're becoming Redskin fans again. I would say half of that stadium, wouldn't you think, would be burgundy
Absolutely.
And gold today?
Absolutely.
I would say there's going to be a lot of Redskin fans at that game, especially if they're over the age of 40 or 50. I'm going to leave that game alone only because here's what we're looking at. We're looking at the number three passer in the NFL right now, yardage-wise, Cam Newton. I mean, how many people before the season started thought Cam Newton would be throwing for this much yardage and performing this well? They've been in every single game pretty much they've played, yeah. But they're 1-5.
All they do is throw the ball, though. Well, that's all they've been doing.
Well, Fox left there after a 2-14 year, and for some reason that qualified him to be a head coach in Denver. Evidently, they really were having some problems in Denver. But I like Washington a little bit here, but not enough. Carolina's a 2.5 or 3-point favorite, depending on where you look. There's a reason for that. Washington lost their entire left side of their line last week. Corey Lichtensteiger out for the year. I think Chris Cooley's going to be out for the year, too, because I think what they're going to do is they're going to end up after 6 weeks and his finger is fixed.
Yeah.
They're probably going to fix his knee, too, and they're just going to put him on the injured list.
The big injury here for the Washington Redskins, though, is Trent Williams.
Oh, you know, he's been doing a good job, too.
He's been doing a great job. And to add that to the rest of the line's problems, now we're playing – well, I say we because I'm a Redskins fan, but now the Washington Redskins are playing plug-and-play with the linemen here, and – you add a John Beck, new quarterback on that, this offense is going to look very different, very new.
They're going to look different, but they might not look any better. It's going to be interesting to see what this second-round draft pick from 2006, he was actually drafted by Cam Cameron. And for you Raven fans, Cam Cameron is your offensive coordinator in Baltimore. And, you know, Cam Cameron is a hell of a coach. I mean, he does a really good job. But I look at this game as going over. Now, the last two or three games between these two teams have been 20-17. It was pointed out to me on the radio coming in when I was listening to a show. I see more than 37 points being scored here. I see the winner of this game getting 30 points. And it could be the Redskins, but you know what? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers ended up outscoring us this week. It's going to be tough. The Redskins come out of this 4-2. Boy, are they going to be smelling like a rose. I'm passing on the game, but I'm taking over 43.5 points, Roy. That's not a lot of points. That's 24-20.
Especially when Carolina's been giving up 28 points a game.
You know what? 24-20 is a win here. I'm taking the over.
The next game we have here is the Cleveland Browns -3 against the Seattle Seahawks with the over-under here 41.
Let me tell you, Cleveland is a place that is imploding. Mike Holmgren has been there for some time. He came there from Seattle. Evidently this week he did I listened to Kylie and Booms. I'll give him a little plug there on their radio station in Cleveland. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, nobody's happy in Cleveland. Browns fans have been through a lot. First of all, their team moved in the middle of the night to Baltimore. That didn't help. Of course, Baltimore, a Baltimore team, when I lived in Baltimore,
moved
in the middle of the night also to Indianapolis. A lot of that moving around going on. But the problem that they're having in Cleveland right now is
everything.
But Mike Holmgren did an interview this week with a buddy of his from Seattle who he knows real well, and he kept referring to the Browns as they and them. And it's like, you talk about some really fired up, ugly fired up people in Cleveland. You should have heard all of the talk going back and forth all week. Peyton Hillis, we don't know if he's got a pulled hamstring or if he just doesn't want to play because he doesn't have a contract in place after this season. Obviously, he's a force in the NFL. I'd love to have Peyton Hillis, wouldn't you?
I don't know about this Peyton Hillis, because I don't know what is going on with him. One week he has strep throat. The next week he wants a new contract. God knows what's going on with this guy. But the Cleveland Browns do not have another running back.
Well, when you see this guy run the football, though, he's old school.
He
can block, too.
He is. I mean, he's a big guy. He will run you over. He's not afraid to shy down. But he is their leading rusher with 211 yards, and we're going into week 7 here.
Well, Hardesty's definitely not the answer in Cleveland. Seattle, on the other hand, 2 weeks ago, they came to New York, and I kind of warned New York Giant fans that, hey, I love the Giants. I think they got a great shot at winning the East this year. But in my opinion, they always have like that trap letdown game at home where somebody will come in and just beat them out of the blue.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's Eli or I don't know. I know it's not Coughlin. I think that he's probably a little confused about that too, as to how come that happens all the time. But the Giants came back strong last week and won. But Seattle again is traveling, 2,000 miles to play in Cleveland this weekend. And I'm going to tell you right now, Charlie Whitehurst is starting at quarterback for Seattle,
could be a good thing.
Well, they think he's their better quarterback anyway. He's got a rating over 100 in the short time he's been playing this year.
Nobody's wanted Tavares Jackson. The Vikings didn't want Tavares Jackson. They brought in a very, very old Brett Favre to replace him, and then they traded Tavares Jackson, which I think was a package deal because the Seattle wanted Sidney Rice.
Oh, they got Sidney Rice,
and
too.
And then I think the Vikings were like, well, we'll give you Sidney Rice, but please take Tavares Jackson.
And please pay him, too. Would you please pay him?
And then I think even the Vikings were surprised that they made him their starting quarterback, Tavares Jackson. They're like, oh, well, you just had to take him. You didn't have to start the guy.
Absolutely. Whitehurst is more athletic. Whitehurst is, if you've ever seen Charlie Whitehurst play, I mean, this guy's fun to watch. He's a Clemson quarterback. And I'm going to tell you something. Speaking of Clemson, how about them Tigers guys? They could end up number one when this is all over, maybe.
They could.
Boise State doesn't play anybody. But anyway, we jumped to the NCAA quickly there, but I'm back again. Listen, this game is so bad, I'm leaving it completely alone. McCoy is terrible. I'm sorry. This kid, he's a nice kid, but he looks like he weighs 175 pounds. He looks like he's 17 years old. And every time he goes back to throw, I just keep thinking, please don't hurt Colt.
Yeah, but
Please don't hurt Colt.
He has no running game. We've already mentioned that with Peyton Hillis being.
But they have this phenomenal GM.
They have
named Mike Holmgren.
They have no receivers. And like we said, Mike Holmgren refers to his own team as they. So the Browns are, and not to mention, they're named after a guy named Paul Brown, who the Brown family now owns the Bengals.
Right.
So what is there to like?
Pretty horrible. But those Bengals are playing well. Let's pass on this game.
Next up, we have the Detroit Lions -3.5 against the Atlanta Falcons with the over-under here 43.5.
It's 47.5. My bad. On my sheet, it says 47.5. Yep. You just didn't change it. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm gonna rub something in here. Roy loves Detroit, and so do I.
I do.
But I got to tell you, last week, remember, I left this game alone because I made the statement, I just think they're probably going to take a breath here this week. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They did. And that the amount of time it took them to take that breath, San Francisco and Jim Harbaugh and company jumped right into the end zone there at the end of the game and won the game. Of course, there was a lot of brouhaha going on about that wonderful handshake that Jimmy Harbaugh. Now, to say Jim Harbaugh is an excitable guy would be like saying Santa Claus has a lot of cheer. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a freak. First of all, he played in Chicago, and he was an All-American at the University of Michigan. I think he was second in the Heisman Trophy balloting when he was at Michigan. The guy went to Chicago, was never a great quarterback, but he was a pretty good quarterback. He bounced around the league after a while, but he's an excellent coach. And he's gone to San Francisco and basically taken over the same exact team that Mike Singletary had as a head coach, and he's turned them into winners almost immediately. I really like San Francisco. What they did to Detroit, though, that game could have gone either way. If they had played another 5 minutes, Detroit might have won the game. But Atlanta now is all of a sudden now. I've got Atlanta still rated as an okay team, Roy. You know how my ratings go.
Yes.
And by the way, if you want to follow us online, go to brucehallsports.com. That's brucehallsports.com. Click on my little blog there, and you'll be able to follow every game in order that we go through on the show.
And the rating system that you use will be there, the okay, the suck.
Occasionally.
The okay plus,
yeah,
plus.
It is. Most everybody's an okay team. There's very few good teams in the NFL. There's probably four right now. There's a few okays. There's a few okay pluses. There's a few okay minuses. And there's about four or five teams that have a big S that doesn't stand for Superman next to them. It stands for S-U-C-K, and that's a pretty clean way to say that a team is hurting. I'm going to tell you right now, Atlanta could win this game. Now, you don't think so.
I don't.
You
like
love
Atlanta.
Detroit because you're a Megatron freak.
The big story here in Detroit is Javid Best is not playing. Oh, my gosh. Javid Best doesn't do anything. These guys rank in the bottom of the league in rushing attack anyways.
Nah, he does something.
He blocks and he catches swing passes, but the guy is out of Cal and never really had good hands to begin with. So they're putting him in a new role here in Detroit. So I don't care about the running back. Is Megatron still in the game? Yes, give me Detroit. Julio Jones is not playing for Atlanta, who is, I know, not their go-to receiver, but he's a threat on the other side, and he takes targets away from White.
You know, one of the best shows on television, I'm plugging a TV show on the radio, and I don't mind doing that, is an NFL matchup. An NFL matchup has Merrill Hodge, Ron Jaworski on. You know, and I'm going to tell you, these guys are phenomenal. They look at so much film. And even Jaworski, who really didn't throw a lot of passes in Philly when he went to the Super Bowl in 1980 for the Eagles, he's a great guy. And I'm going to tell you right now, he even said, hey, I don't care about running. We're going to throw the ball 50 times and Detroit's going to win. He loves Matt Stafford. I mean, he absolutely loves the guy. And I agree with him. I think that they can go after the Atlanta secondary, and I think they can have a lot of success. And it's not just, you know, throwing a Megatron. He's going to be doubled every time he goes out. I mean, even when they bring him in the slot, he's still going to be doubled. But I'm going to tell you, they got a tight end they can throw to in Brandon Pettigrew, mm-hmm. and they're going to throw to the running back, Maurice Morris. Yeah.
And
he's better catching the ball than he is running the ball.
And he's a better catcher or receiver, however you want to put
he's
it,
an Oregon Duck.
Than Javid Best was.
Right, he's an Oregon Duck, so he's used to wearing the freaky clothes, too.
And stretching out a defense and playing that swing, I'm going to catch a ball offense, which is right. But Stafford is going to throw to Megatron. I don't care if there's two guys on him. I don't care if there's three guys on him. We've seen that already.
He doesn't care.
Where Stanford will just throw up a ball, and who comes down with it?
Well, the guy's obviously the best. In my opinion, he's the best receiver in the league for sure.
He could be the best football player in football right now.
Now, let me talk about something that happened, Roy, this week. It wouldn't be right if we didn't say something about it. But there was a trade. Ronnie Brown was supposed to come from the Eagles and send Jerome Harrison back to Philadelphia. And, of course, you know, you have to pass physical. Both guys do before they allow that trade. Jerome Harrison was found to have a tumor in his brain. Now, whether it's benign or cancerous, I don't think anybody knows yet. But, listen, prayers go out, you know, to Jerome Harrison. You know, if he hadn't been traded, nobody would even know that he was sick. So that you know, sometimes things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Kids listening to this show, don't ever get up and down about something happening. Everything happens for a reason for the most part. But I'm gonna leave this game alone. I can't even take the over here because I think that the defenses on both of these teams are both better than everybody thinks. Atlanta, to win, they got to hand the ball to Turner 30 times, 25 to 30 times. He's going to have to catch the ball out of the backfield, too. Let's go to the next game.
Next up is
your favorite game.
This is like Christmas for me.
It is.
Miami Dolphins -1 over the Denver Tim Tebow-led Broncos.
Let me tell you something. Now, who did the Caps play last night? Didn't they play Detroit?
Yes.
They did.
They did.
Did you know they won 7-1? Tebow got 5 goals last night for the Caps.
He also hit 3 home runs last night in the World Series.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I thought that was Tebow.
It was
Tebow. But he was batting right-handed, and he's a lefty.
He does whatever he wants.
He's amazing.
He's a switch hitter, switch thrower.
Tebow. Hey, listen.
He's running for the office of president. In 2012.
Well, let me just tell you, he's not old enough. You got to be 35.
It doesn't matter. They changed the rules for Tim Tebow.
Well, they might change the rules for Tim Tebow. Let me tell you something. This is going to be one heck of a game. And we talked about this. The Dolphins would be remiss and for the most part just stupid if they didn't print or order when they knew he was going to be getting the start here, at least, what do you think, 10,000 Tebow Denver Bronco jerseys in Florida? They're going to make, what do you think, like 30, 40 bucks a crack on jerseys they sell today. They're also, Roy, explain to them what they're doing today.
The Miami Dolphins, it's a home game for the Miami Dolphins, but it's really a home game for Tim Tebow, and that's not a joke. What the Miami Dolphins are recognizing the 2008 National Championship
This is unbelievable.
Florida Gators team.
Yep.
Which is crazy in its own right because the Miami U and the Florida Gators don't exactly get along. And this is in Miami. If the Florida Gators 2018 wants to be recognized, do it in Jacksonville.
God, I hope there's not violence in Miami today. Of course, they're not really playing in Miami. They're playing in Davie, Florida.
Right.
Which is like probably 30-minute drive in traffic to Miami anyway, maybe 40 minutes. It's closer to Fort Lauderdale, I think, than it is to Miami. But I got to tell you, this is going to be one hell of a game.
There's going to be more Tim Tebow jerseys in the stands than anything else. And I'm talking Gators jerseys. I'm talking Gator orange and blue. Because the Miami Dolphins, nobody wants to watch these guys.
Right.
I got good friends.
Tony Sperano is on his way out.
I got good friends who are diehard Miami Dolphins fans that won't even wear a jersey on Sunday. They'll watch the game, but they won't cheer. They will just sit there. They hate the Dolphins.
You know
right
what
now.
This is? This is the undefeated team's curse. This is what Shula and company get for like throwing egg in the face of everybody every year at the same time in December when there's an undefeated team still and they're like, there's no way that anybody's going to be undefeated in the NFL. We're the only guys that can do that. Yeah, well, maybe. But I got to tell you something. This Miami team, you won't have to worry for many, many years about them even making the playoffs. It's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, these guys aren't very good. They're really not. And I'm going to tell you how bad they are. I took them this week.
I know you did.
I mean, I got to tell you something, man. I will never take them again this year. I'm never going to be on that side of the candle. I will not lose again. Let's go to the next game. It's not worth talking about these guys.
San Diego Chargers, your boy.
Superchargers, baby. Superchargers.
They are -2 against the New York Jets, Jets. The over-under here is 44.
All right, now I'm going to give you something that's happened in the last 24 hours. They're actually +1 now, and that's happened since last night. That means, you know what that means? Everybody's hammering the Jets, and there's got to be a reason for that. And it's not Colin Coward. Did you hear about that? He claimed that when he gives a game that the line moves in Vegas. Okay. That's amazing. I think he was just trying to make a joke. Because people actually have to bet on the games with real money to get the lines to move. So it's not just him saying it on the radio that moves the line. Although I'm sure with Colin's ego, he probably thinks it is. But I happen to like Colin.
It's probably me tweeting it and then him seeing it.
I think
it,
it's
and
my
him,
retweets that do it.
It could be. It could be me tweeting it, you retweeting it, him saying it on the radio that moves the line.
My Twitter name is @BruceHallSports. What's yours?
I'm @SportsManCave.
You got to follow us, guys, because I follow all of the people in the NFL that are beat writers. I follow everyone. When I retweet, you get the best information. You know, I look at all these guys. I'm trying to catch Roy up to all this stuff because, you know, I quiz him every time we get together for our production meeting on Sunday mornings. I start asking him questions.
Which usually turns into an argument.
And if he doesn't have an answer, I'm like, well, why don't you know that?
Well, it usually turns into an argument because as similar as we are on the view of football, we always seem to be on the other side of the games, are again in this game here, where I have your boy North Turner.
Turner's terrible.
And you have the Jets.
Let me tell you something. On his best day, he's average. San Diego is 4-1. They're acting like they have discovered electricity
in
San Diego.
They're drinking seaweed shakes.
Yeah, and you know what? Do you know what the record is of the teams that they've played so far? 4-13 of the people they've beat.
So you're saying they're really good.
They're playing one of the best teams they're going to play for a while. Yeah. They're in a lousy division. They are. I mean, come on, let's face it. You know, the AFC West sucks. It sucks because they win it every year, and they're never any good, in my opinion. What I like here, first of all, we're forgetting about something really important. Rex versus Norm.
The argument.
Yeah, they had an argument, and they're friends, supposedly, but I find that hard to believe because Norv's not into women's feet, for one thing. He's not. I mean, he's not. Rex is, and that's cool. I think Rex is. I love Rex, and all the people I know in Baltimore, they all think a lot of Rex. But I got to tell you something: the right people didn't think enough of him because he didn't get the daggone job there, did he?
No.
And who got the job? John Harbaugh. Hey, was that a bad decision? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think it was a bad decision at all. But I got to tell you one thing right here: if Rex and Norv squared off, Norv would go down in two rounds, no question.
You think Norv would last a round?
I don't think Norv would actually want to make contact.
Well, it would take an entire round.
He'd be afraid to touch gloves at the start of the fight.
It would take an entire round for Rex Ryan to get over to where Norv Turner was to throw a punch.
Well, you know, Tell everybody what happened real quick.
Okay, well, the Rex Ryan came out and he said, if I was the coach of the San Diego Chargers, I would already have two rings. There's so much talent on that team, blah, blah, blah. Norv Turner came out and said, oh, just like you guaranteed two Super Bowls for the Jets the past two seasons, how many rings do you have?
Well, he did make it to two AFC championship games, though. That's something Norv hasn't done yet.
How many rings do you get for that?
By the way, this is Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G. We're on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on WFAS 1230 AM in New York. And we're all excited here because it's Sunday. Let me tell you, when I get in the car on Sunday morning and I start driving out to do the show, I love to hear all the different stations. And I lose them. I'll lose one. I'll get another one on. It's a lot of fun. It's great time. But I get so pumped up by the time the show comes on that, you know, sometimes I sound like I'm really excited. I got to tell you something. It is a beautiful day. It's going to be 65 degrees. There's not a cloud in the sky in this area. And there, Roy, the weather everywhere is fine except where?
London.
And do we care about that game?
No.
Why don't we care about that game?
Because it's in London.
you know that is absolutely the truth. I can't keep my – you know, here's what I don't understand. Why are we going to London? Are we going to have a team in London? Because personally, I don't really want to have to. Can you imagine being in London and going to away games?
Could you imagine the San Diego Chargers traveling to London to play a game?
There's got to be so much money involved in this for the commissioner and for the NFL owners. Because it can't have anything to do with the players. Because I know damn well right now the players don't want to go to London.
No.
I mean, unless they're like English. And how many guys are English? None.
No.
I don't think we have an English player. We have guys from Canada.
Who dreams to be drafted by a London football team?
Well, let me tell you something. The only team I liked in London was, if you remember, Stan Galbaugh and the London Monarchs when they won the World League of American Football. a University of Maryland quarterback. He came back to the NFL, played about 7 or 8 years, carried a clipboard, being a number two, but he's a great guy, did really well. And I like to say I had a little bit to do with that.
Did you?
I did. I talked him out of retirement and it made his wife so mad. She hated me forever.
Well, there you go.
But I got to tell you something. This, you know, this game.
Back to the Chargers.
I've got the Jets -1.
Right.
I'm taking the Jets -1, and I'll tell you why. Norv and Rex. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no way the Jets are going to end up 3-4 at the end of this game.
No.
That's what I look at. Norv, you know, this isn't that big a deal for them. They can win 9 games and win the West. They can win 9 games, Roy. Let's go to the next game. I'm tired of this already.
The next game is another team you're extremely high on. The Chicago Bears
suck.
-1 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The over-under here is 41.
Okay, we just talked about this game, right?
First off, though, I was right about the Chicago Bears last week.
Yeah, their defense isn't as bad as it looks on paper.
You threw a fit last week when I said that the Chicago Bears were going to win that game.
I know.
And then the Chicago Bears blew them out.
I know.
So
I know.
I don't.
Well, if you think I enjoyed it, you're wrong.
I loved it. I loved
know.
It.
But they're you know, they're not as bad as I thought, but they're not as good as you think they are either.
Well,
first of all, one of the reasons I got a pass on this game is it's going to be windy over there. What a surprise. And if you ever been to the British Open in July, it's like, you know, they're wearing, you know, parkas while they're playing golf and it's raining, you know, 10 inches an hour over there. I honestly think that with a lot of wind, I liked the over all week until I saw the weather report. I mean, you know, now I will say this. Both quarterbacks have got good arms.
Yeah.
Tampa went over there immediately following their game that they won last week, okay? And they've been over there since then. Chicago didn't leave till Wednesday or Thursday to go over there. They had one day of practice, and now they're going to play. But if you think about this from the NFL Pete Rozelle rule, which is everybody should be 8-8 or 7-7 when he was commissioner, Chicago needs to win worse than Tampa Bay does.
Yeah,
wouldn't you agree?
Yeah,
I mean they're not even going to be competitive league. Listen to me,
division.
They're not going to be competitive in their own division unless they win this game. This is a huge game for Chicago.
I mean, when you're chasing Detroit and Green Bay looks like
they're going to lose one game,
early
maybe.
Favorite.
They're going to lose one game, possibly two, possibly none. Oh my God, Miami! Shula and those boys are going to be. They're going to be jinxing.
They're freaking out.
They're freaking out about this Green Bay team. I didn't even think about that.
They're good. I mean, this Green Bay team is very, very good. And not to mention, Detroit is another, I consider, top five team in the NFL the same division.
I'd say they're probably ranked 5 or 6 or 7 right now. And I got to tell you something, Detroit's just going to get better. You know, as long as Jimmy Schwartz doesn't girly the place up and chase a guy screaming and hollering. Did he take off his high heels and hit him while he was chasing him? It looked like he was throwing his shoes at him. Did he throw his shoes at him in that fight?
Yeah, I
can't remember. It looked like he took his shoes off and chucked them at him. You know what? Let's pass on this game. We've already said we're going to pass on.
About how much
we don't
care.
I'm not talking about any game, any American game being played in London.
Next up here is the Tennessee Titans getting 3 points over the Houston Texans with the over-under at 44.5.
You know what? Let's talk about this game for a minute. We're going to come back to it after the break, but I got to tell you something. You know, this Tennessee team is a lot better, I think, than a lot of people thought they were going to be this year. You know, Munchak, he's a hell of a coach, and he's been around forever. You know, he's an offensive lineman, so, you know, he's more of an offensive coordinator. But I like what he's doing in Tennessee, and I'll give Schwartz this. When he left for Detroit, he left Tennessee in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
he really did. Now the Texans, who I happen to like, are without their two best players again, Andre Johnson and Mario Williams. You like
on both sides of the ball.
Now, Mario Williams
on defense and Andre Johnson on offense. So but it affects both sides of the football.
It's their franchise when you think about it.
It really is.
I mean, you know, they're both first round draft choices, and Mario Williams was the first pick.
A very controversial
the NFL draft. Absolutely. And you know who picked him? My buddy Charlie Casserly. And Charlie Casserly, by the way, if you go to Twitter and you want to know something about football, you got to follow Charlie Casserly. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. I'm Bruce Hall.
This is Roy G.
And you need to go to BruceHallSports.com, click on the blog, and make sure that you're following us with all these picks so you can read along as we go. Roy, get us out of here, buddy.
We got more picks on the other side, including the rest of this game and the Pittsburgh Steelers game coming up. This is AM 1230 WFAS. And welcome back. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I am Roy G.
Yeah, I'm Bruce Hall. And listen, if you go to NHBOWL.com, you'll actually see that I'm in second place in total units for the National Handicappers Bowl so far this year. I only say that when you can see my name on there. Otherwise, you'll never hear from me about the NH Bowl except twice during the year. But I'm having a decent year. Pushed pretty much the first 4 weeks. Last 2 weeks, I've had two really good weeks. I actually scratched a pick this past week. I scratched the Jets, and they covered. I just felt real bad about that game. I did, and I scratched it. But listen, we're going to give you Tennessee here for 5 stars. I am. Roy doesn't agree with me, no. But see, he's 25 years old, so who cares what he thinks.
The Houston Texans is actually my second biggest play of the day, so I love the Texans.
So in the real world, what we should do is just leave it alone because he likes one way, I like the other. But see, I know a little bit more about what's going on out there because Charlie Casserly is a very knowledgeable guy, and I like to read Charlie Casserly. And from what I understand, I mean, Schaub is hurt. I mean, he had two MRIs this week, from what I understand, just to see if he was – I mean, he had an MRI on his chest. I mean, come on. That means that he could hardly breathe probably. Well, he got drilled like 15 times to the ground last week.
You know who
and I'm not
see?
A big fan of Schaub's anyway because he's starting to look like a choker in the fourth. His quarterback rating in the fourth period is like 65. He's like about 105 on the other three quarters.
I'm high on Matt Schaub. I think Matt Schaub's a great quarterback. But to your point of him being beat up.
I think you're prejudiced just because he's smart.
He is a smart guy. He went to UVA.
Yeah, he did.
But you know who we're going to see if we don't see Matt Schaub? Or for some
Sage
reason.
Sage Rosenfels.
No.
Who?
Your boy, Matt Leinart.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? I like Leinart's chances here to get killed. Let's go to the next game.
The next game here is the Pittsburgh Steelers -4 against the Arizona Cardinals. The over-under here is 43.
I was trying to find a way, Roy, all week long that I could go with Arizona here, and I just can't find any reason to play the Cardinals. The Cardinals are they're 1-4, and you know, they play in a phenomenal stadium, and they've got, you know, a really good coaching staff. They're all former Steeler guys. Russ Grimm, Kenny Wisenhunt, they're both former Redskins too. This is a really well-coached team, but something's going on out here. Now, I'm not saying that there's a general manager problem out here, but I am saying this. They're not getting what they need out of these guys, and I think a lot of the guys they're drafting and signing aren't the kind of guys you want in your locker room. I'm hearing locker room problems.
Well, I think the Arizona Cardinals are a number one example, them and the Philadelphia Eagles, of how the lockout affected teams. They brought in a new quarterback in Kevin Cobb. They got rid of a running back in Tim Hightower and had to replace him with Beanie Wells. They brought in a lot of different defensive people, and I just think the lockout extremely affected the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
They're not clicking. It might not be locker room problems, but there's definitely no locker room chemistry.
Well, you know what? Here's another thing. Two of the best, generally speaking, these shows aren't on until Thursday, but if you watch AFC Playbook and NFC Playbook on the, I sound like an NFL record here, on the NFL channel, and believe me, I'm not, you'll see two really good shows, an hour each. And what I saw this week is I saw a really nervous Matt, a really, really, really nervous Kevin Cobb out there trying to throw the ball. He's not trusting his blocking. They've had some injuries on their offensive line. They're not really – Beanie Wells is averaging 4.6 a carry, but, you know, he's got a couple of really long runs. That doesn't really tell you that anything. Early Doucette's their number two. Larry Fitzgerald's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But they don't have anybody else, and Todd Heap has been injured every other game.
For the past couple of years, really. That's been
well,
the story
one of the
Heap.
Reasons. That's one of the reasons that they got rid of him in Baltimore. They had Dixon, and they like Dixon. And, you know, and you don't like Dixon, but I like Dixon.
I don't. I
like Dixon because he catches a lot of passes.
He's a dropaholic.
I don't see that in him. I just don't see that in him. But let's get back to the Steelers. You know who I do like since he got married? Ben. I like Ben. I like what I see. Roethlisberger is in walking boots during the week, and he comes out on the weekend and he dominates. I mean, he always seems to be in the play. You know, they'll be dragged. You know, he reminds me of Cam Newton. He's about Cam Newton's size.
Well, Newton reminds me of Big Ben.
Well, I don't say that because I think in a year or two, he's going to be a lot better than Big Ben because when Cam Newton runs a 4.48 40, Ben runs a 5.48 40. Wouldn't you agree that's probably pretty accurate?
Yeah, especially with a boot on his leg.
And I got to tell you, but the thing I like about it is I like what I saw with him throwing the ball down the field last week. I also like the way they utilized their backs. I love Pittsburgh here. I'm taking them for 4 stars. It's -4. And you might even be able to get it at 3.5. But I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers for 4 stars here. I'm not playing the over because I really think I've been to Arizona. I'm buying a house there sometime this year. I promise you I am because I'm tired of cold weather. I'm going to live 5 months a year out of the year in Arizona like all old people do. There are a lot of people retired in Arizona. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of them shake those terrible towels. I've been out there when, I swear, in the old stadium in Tempe, it looked like a Pittsburgh Steeler home game. I'm taking them because nobody's really got a reason to root for Arizona.
No reason whatsoever.
And I think Pittsburgh is going to go in there. I think they're going to get an early lead, and I think they're just going to put it all over them. I'm taking Pittsburgh. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Oakland Raiders -4.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs. The over-under here is 42.
You know, Kyle Buller gets the start here for Oakland. And, you know, they tried to make you think all week that Carson Palmer was some kind of prodigy and was going to be able to memorize an 800-page Al Saunders playbook. We've all heard around here about Al Saunders' playbook. Personally, I think 800 pages is probably a waste of about 750 pages.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you really don't – you're only going to run – you know, you're going to run maybe 50 or 60 plays in a game.
Here's 4 plays that they need to run. Off tackle right, off tackle left.
Sweep right,
sweep right,
left.
Sweep left.
Hey, they have the best running back, I think, in the NFL right now in Darren McFadden. I love this kid out of Arkansas. He's a stud. You know, I like him catching the ball out of the backfield. I got to see him catch a couple of balls. And
he's got good hands.
Yeah, he does. He's got great hands.
Well, you have to remember that he ran the Wildcat in Arkansas.
Right. I remember that. And the thing about this kid too is he seems pretty resilient and he plays a little nicked up. He had a little groin problem second week. He didn't miss a step. He came back and played. They had him questionable, I think, third week, and he came in, and I think he rushed for 135 yards. I mean, this is a great kid. Now, Jason Campbell, who you and I both have a lot of respect for, not the greatest quarterback in the world, but Jason's can play. Hey, look, we didn't upgrade anything in Washington whatsoever when we got rid of Jason Campbell. This guy's a lifetime 87, 88 quarterback rating guy. He can take off. The one thing Jason never did do, and he still doesn't do it enough, is he's got good wheels. And when he takes off, he keeps a defense, pretty well in honest on the defensive side of the ball. Kyle Buller, all I remember him from in Baltimore is having one or two good games, and the rest of them were terrible.
Well, the reason why I like Oakland here is because losing Jason Campbell, I don't think you lose that much with Kyle Buller. Now, I don't like Kyle Buller as a quarterback, but Kyle Buller is a veteran. He understands his...
He's a University of Washington guy, right?
He understands his role here, and Jason Campbell and Kyle Buller are very similar in this offense, where it is get the ball to Darren McFadden.
Right.
So you don't have to rely on Kyle Buller's arm, especially when you're going up against
Kansas City Chiefs. I agree with you, Roy, and I'm not on them this week, only because Kansas City's won 2 games in a row, and if I'm not mistaken... I mean, this is a team that needs a win desperately. I mean, the Chiefs are coming off of a bye week, and off of a bye week, they're in pretty good shape. But anyway, if you get a chance, leave this game alone. Roy likes Oakland.
I like it.
I'm leaving him alone. Oakland right now is a -3.5. You know, that's a pretty good value if Bowler doesn't really cost him anything.
Yeah, no,
in my opinion,
I have Oakland as one of my top 5 plays.
Let's go to the next play.
Next up here, we have the Dallas Cowboys -13 against the St. Louis Rams. The over-under here is 44.
Listen, I've been on Dallas for the most part all week long. I haven't got off of them. They're 2-3. Look, I hate the Cowboys. You know it. That's just what I'm used to. We got somebody doing a little construction here, if you hear anything. If not, don't worry about it. But the Cowboys are 2-3. They're -14 over the St. Louis Rams, who are probably going to be looking for another head coach maybe before the end of the year, but probably definitely at the end of the year. The total on this game is 43. It's hard to believe that they're playing a game almost simultaneously with a World Series game here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Both games are going to be going on almost at the same time. I've been there. Traffic's a problem. Traffic.
That's the nicer word.
Yeah, that's the nicer word that I was going to use. My producer likes me to use really nice, clean words. Traffic can be a problem on a regular basis there. Now they're going to have two games going on. I watched last year as the Cowboys got crushed by the Jacksonville Jaguars by 30 points, then watched my San Francisco Giants win a World Series. They could be 5-0. They could absolutely be 5-0.
They could also be 0-5.
They could be 0-5, too. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to take them minus the 14 points for 4 stars. That's all I'm going to do. That's the only thing you can do in this sense. You know, and Tony Romo's going to have, you know, you decided to keep Tony Romo.
I did.
You decided to keep him on your fantasy team. There was a reason for that, right?
I started Tony Romo today over Tim Tebow, who everyone knows that I am absolutely in love with Tim Tebow, and this is going to be Tim Tebow's breakout game. But Tony Romo is going to have that much bigger of a game today against this very, very low Rams team.
You know who's starting for the Rams? It's not Sam Bradford.
No, it's not.
No, it's a guy.
It's
AJ Feely, a guy from Philadelphia who was an average backup,
if that.
You know, he's not the kind of guy you want to come in and have to throw the ball downfield. AJ Feely is probably going to have some problems with what I consider to be the nicer of the Ryan boys.
Yeah,
Rob. Rob's doing a great job with that defense. Last week, they almost beat the New England Patriots. I mean, they literally, if they don't protect the ball so much, the last drive down the field and maybe a couple of drives earlier in that game, instead of kicking 4 or 5 field goals, they might have scored a couple of more touchdowns and won that game. New England has a good team, but you and I talked about this. They're ranked 16th in the league in defense.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean, they're not. I don't even have them rated as a good team. I got them rated as an OK++ team.
Because of how bad that defense
Because of that defense. And let me tell you, if they played Green Bay right now on a neutral site, it'd be Green Bay -7.5.
I think
-7.5 would be the line I'd put on that game.
Green Bay is ridiculous.
Solid.
They're ridiculous right now.
Solid. They've lost a couple guys and replaced them with guys just as good.
Now look,
Steven Jackson's
He's back.
And you like him.
I love
Steven
Jackson.
Did you activate him already?
I did.
Oh, my God. That was Steven Jackson. He hit me.
Yes, I love Steven Jackson. He's activated today on my fantasy team. He's going to run wild. And he's really the only shot St. Louis has at even putting up a fight in this game. It's a lot of points. The 13 is a lot of points.
Look who they got, too. They got Brandon Lloyd this week.
Yeah, they did.
Brandon Lloyd was in Washington. He stunk here. We gave him, like, I don't know, $7 or $8 million for 2 years.
Well, Vinny
and he was horrible. He was horrible. Then he goes to Denver, and he has a pretty good year or two, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, but he's not going to make that big a difference, because all he's going to do is draw double coverage in St. Louis, and it won't matter because you can cover every other receiver. Yeah. Hey, name me 4 receivers for the St. Louis Cardinals, except Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola's hurt.
Oh, did I say Cardinals? My bad. Yeah. I'm a baseball guy.
Danny Amendola's hurt. Mike Sims-Walker just got let go. And now you add
it's horrible.
Brandon Lloyd.
Sims-Walker went back to the Jags.
He's terrible.
He went back to the Jags. Hey, we're going to take Dallas minus the points for 4 stars. Let's go to the next game. Oh, I love this game.
Green Bay -9 against the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, it's indoors.
The over-under here is 46.5.
It's indoors. That's all I have to hear.
Yeah, that's all
when
you need.
When Green Bay plays indoors and there's a quarterback that's doing commercials like everywhere now. I love his commercials, by the way.
The Green Bay?
Yeah, have you seen that commercial?
Double check. What is it?
It's an insurance commercial, it's hilarious. And this guy goes,
he goes,
I'm a quarterback.
Double check.
That's my move. Yeah. And he goes, I'm a quarterback. He goes, I'm a robot.
I'm a robot.
He just walks right by the guy. Hey, I love that. Listen, Green Bay, this would normally be, even if Brett Favre was playing for Minnesota, I'd take Green Bay in this game. As a matter of fact, especially if Brett Favre was playing this game, because A, he's out of shape. But he's got to be as good as who they're going to throw out there. They're throwing a rookie out there, Christian Ponder from Florida State,
yep.
Who, by the way, when I saw him play in the blue-gray game, I thought he was the best guy on the field.
He looked great.
He was a great. Well, you know why? Because he can run.
Yeah.
He can run.
He's athletic.
He's very athletic. I bet he could play baseball, too. I mean, this kid is the real deal, but he's going against Dom Capers in the Green Bay defense.
This defense blitzes. And one thing that I wanted to add in here, there are two teams in the league right now that average close to 3 points a drive. That's a score every drive.
Right.
One of them being the Green Bay Packers, the other one being the
Well, they don't waste any time because they don't turn the ball over. And their quarterback moves the football. You know, Green Bay is not only going to win this game, in my opinion, it's going to be about a 15, 20-point game. I'm going to take Green Bay minus the 9.5. It may end up going to 10, but I'm going to take that for sure. Now, the thing that you also have to understand is it's not like the Vikings don't have any tools. They got Adrian Peterson.
I was just about to say, they have a guy named
Green
Adrian
Green Bay,
Peterson.
Capers is going to put 8 men in the box and just say, hey, rookie, throw.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to help him.
No.
Now they may score one or two touchdowns somehow, but I'm sure Green Bay is going to get more like 5 or 6. Minnesota is not nearly as bad as they've shown this year. They just, for the life of them, can't seem to figure out how to put points on the board and keep them there. If you remember early in the season, they were ahead at halftime, what, 4 straight games, and they lost every single one of them.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to the next game. We're going to take Green Bay. We're taking Green Bay for sure.
Next up here, we have the New Orleans Saints minus 14 over the Indianapolis Colts. The over-under here is 48.
Well, if you're old enough to remember Joe Theismann on AFC and NFC playbook, I think it was NFC playbook because this is an inter-conference game, New Orleans and Indianapolis being an AFC game, New Orleans being an NFC game. Joe Theismann picked Indy to win this game. I got to tell you something. I don't see it, Joe, but you know what? New Orleans hasn't played. I agreed with everything he said except the win. I think that Indy could cover this spread. Do I want to play it in New Orleans?
No.
With Drew Brees mad that he got beat last week and his coach. Now, here's what's happening. Sean Payton's going to be in the press box today.
He's got a torn MCL.
He's got a broken fibula and he's got a torn medial collateral ligament. He is like hurting. So he's going to be on some pain medication, but they got to keep him on a very little bit of it because he's actually got to coach a game for 3.5 hours. I like the over here, and I'm going to tell you why. Curtis Painter is getting better.
He is.
Did you know what his quarterback rating is?
I
91. It's 91. Curtis freaking Painter. They were starting Kerry Collins, who they've made up this lie about him having a concussion.
Yeah, no.
He don't have a concussion.
Curtis Painter is...
Does he?
He's no way. He's 56 for 102, 806 yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. Now that is
nothing.
That is a couple games though.
Yeah.
Because Coors Light Collins started the first couple games. So Curtis Painter over the last couple games has created and regenerated the bond of quarterback to Dallas Clark. Dallas Clark he looked like the old Dallas Clark last week. I think he had something like 9 receptions and a touchdown. I mean, Dallas Clark looked great.
You know, the biggest thing that the Indianapolis Colts receivers ever had to worry about in the last 3 or 4 years was concussions because Peyton put the ball in their hands every play. And if you're a safety, you know, before they started protecting them this year, which they're really protecting them maybe a little too much sometimes. I mean, these guys were getting banged around bad. I mean, there were 2 or 3 guys that were out on a regular basis for the Colts with concussions. But you're right. I mean, this guy coming back, he's the best receiving tight end in the league.
Oh,
you
well,
can talk about Tony Gonzalez all you want. Tony G is good for 10 up the middle.
Gates and Gonzalez are
red,
the only
red
other.
Zone receptions, that kind of stuff. I'm going to take the over here. It's 49 points. It went from 48 to 49.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, I'm not doing too well in totals, but you know what? You always want to play the totals, people.
I got
Unless
the over
I
here.
Tell you that I love the over, play that for about half as many points as you would a regular play, because the regular plays are what count. I like India. You know, I don't like Indianapolis enough to even play 3 stars on their cover with the 14 points, but I do like over 49 points. I think that the winner of this game, which is going to be New Orleans, is going to score 34 to 38 points, and I think it's going to be, you know, 38-28, something like that. Let's go to this last game while we can. It's the Baltimore Ravens and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville backdoored last week. Thank goodness I didn't have Pittsburgh, and it was a and that's one of the reasons I had a good week, because I left a pretty sure play alone. They went up 17-3. I want to say in the first 20 minutes of the game, and Pittsburgh shut it down. They didn't score another point.
Pittsburgh in the first half looked like, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers are back. Here we are. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers that we saw last week. And then the second half, they came out and they were the Pittsburgh Steelers of the first three games of the season.
Jacksonville has a pretty good – they have a pretty good defense.
That's the
they
only
really
good
do.
Thing they have other than a running back.
And they've got a rookie quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, who in my opinion has got a long way to go. Now, Charlie, a lot of people think that other teams should have drafted him earlier. I don't see it yet. I really don't. Listen, we're going to do a summary here real quick. I'm passing on Baltimore. That's too many points. It's up to 9 points. I just don't see it in Jacksonville. Do you?
No. And the over-under is something that I don't want to touch either.
Well,
it's 39.
Plus Maurice Jones-Drew is knocking people out when he's running the football. Let me go to my plays that I've got today. I'm taking the New York Jets minus the 1 for 4 stars. I'm taking Tennessee minus the 3 for 5 stars. I'm taking Denver and Tim Tebow for 5,000 stars. No, I'm just kidding. 5 stars.
I am, though.
Roy
5,000 stars.
Roy has the stars. I don't have that many stars available. Pittsburgh over Zona, I'm taking them for 4 stars. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys also for 4 stars, minus the 14 over a pitiful St. Louis Ram team. And I'm taking Green Bay, the top team in the NFL this year, last year, maybe next year, barring injury to an Aaron Rodgers or a couple of, key offensive players. I mean, you think about what Green Bay did last year without JerMichael Finley. You think about what Green Bay did last year with Donald Driver, hurt half the – I mean, they were unbelievable. And they haven't even been able to really run the football because both of their running backs have been dinged up this year, yet they are by far the best team in the NFL right now.
Now, a lot of people don't realize this about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, but everyone gives so much attention to Mike Vick and what he can do with his legs. The number 2 rushing quarterback in the league last year was Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think Aaron's learning very quickly that he doesn't want to run quite as much as Michael Vick does, because he wants to be able to tell people what his name is at the end of the game.
Well, credit card double check.
Credit card double check.
Or whatever it is.
Hey, I'm a quarterback. Yeah, well, good for you. Hey, listen, here are my totals for today. You guys ready? I like the over in the Denver-Miami game only because Tim Tebow is probably going to score all of those points by himself. That's 44.5 points. I like the over in the Indy-New Orleans game. I already said that. That's a 5-star play, people. That's 49 points. That's 27-20. Well, no, it's not. It's 27-24. 27-23 gets you there. I like the over in the Skins-Carolina game. I love the over in the Skins-Carolina game because I'm going to tell you right now, that these guys absolutely, whoever wins this game is going to score 30 points. I like the over in 42.5 in the game in London, but I scratched that, and I'm going to tell you why I scratched that. I scratched that because it's raining like heck over there. And it's windy. It's like 20, 25-mile-an-hour winds. I don't want to ever play an over. You might want to tease the under or something, but I wouldn't play the over. This is Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
I'm Roy Jean. This has been AM 1230 WFAS. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Hey, you guys have fun this weekend.